you enjoy the meeting?
I did.
Good.
Most of it. It was enlightening in a number of ways. Some of it was, dull or wicked.
Good evening and welcome to the Astoria City Council meeting of October 3rd, 2016. Chief Johnston, roll call, please.
Councilor Nemowa.
Here.
Councilor Price.
Here.
Councilor Orr.
Here.
Mayor LaMere.
Here. Thank you. Reports of councilors. Councilor Orr.
I have no report. I didn't go to the meeting, so I just kind of hung around the home.
Well, I'm glad you took care of the city so well. Councillor Price.
Well, one of the sessions that I went to at the League of Oregon Cities Conference, which was just the past few days in Salem, was the last session. It was really the most interesting. And it was Betsy Johnson and three of her colleagues from the legislature talking about the prospects and the challenges of getting a transportation package in 2017. And the message came out really loud and really clear that if Oregon wants a transportation package, everybody's going to have some skin in the game. And nobody really wants to pay for anything, although there is a greater than $15 billion list of projects that the committee heard on its listening tour around the state. And the closest that they came even to the North Coast was Newport. So clearly there are a lot of things off that list. It's not just roads, it's marine, it's air, it's rail. All of the members of the committee, including Senator Johnson, really pleaded with us to have robust discussions within our own municipalities about what we might be willing to do and also what we would want the state to do in terms of guaranteeing accountability. So I promised that I would help her arrange a meeting here in the North Coast sometime in the next couple of months. And hopefully we will be having that robust discussion here at council table as well. It's going to be very important to us over the coming years. And otherwise, it was a good weekend and eye-popping in certain ways. And on the level of robust discussions, I'll be having a Salonical on this coming Friday at noon to 1:30 in the Waldorf room here at City Hall. And so you're all invited to come.
Okay, Councilor Nimmowa.
Thank you, Mayor. The League of Oregon Cities event was educational and fun, thought-provoking. I attended some classes on leadership, growth, innovative, character-compatible housing, and economic development. But the most important workshop I think that I attended really reaffirmed my desire to do something that I think should be a top priority for Astoria, and that is create a community vision and a strategic plan for the city. I'd like to read a quote that kind of sums up why we should do a community vision. That is, if you don't know what you want to be, then you have no control over what you'll end up being. You won't know until it's too late if you like how you've turned out. And that is by Michael Guerra, former town manager of Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, Canada. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think we all enjoyed the League of Oregon Cities. We always pick up a great deal of information. I think the session that I enjoyed the most were when the League talked about the priorities, the legislative priorities for 2017. And they have some doozies to handle because there is the transportation package. There's also PERS reform, comprehensive tax, property tax reform. So there are a lot of big issues to be handled with the upcoming legislature, and I wish them well. That's my only report. Any changes to the agenda?
No changes to the agenda.
Okay. And we understand that Elena Garner is going to be leaving us, which she is not supposed to do because she has done a marvelous job for the city and for the ADHDA. But we want to read a certificate and present this to you tonight. The City of Astoria extends its appreciation and best wishes to Elena Garner for her years of service and tireless devotion as the Executive Director of the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association and wishes her well in her new endeavors. In recognition of the high esteem in which she is held by the people of Astoria, now therefore I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of Astoria, do hereby proclaim October 4th, 2016, as Elena Garner Day in the City of Astoria. In testimony, I have hereunto set my hand and caused to be fixed the seal of the city on this third day of October 2016. Arlene Lemire, Mayor.
Day. Well, I would like to thank all of you. This has been, I've been here for a little over 3 years, and it's been a wonderful experience. If I say too much, I'll probably start crying. Mm-hmm. But I will be moving on to Eastern Oregon in La Grande, and I will also be going back to school to get my master's and focus on historic preservation and economic development. So maybe I'll be back in a couple years, but it's been a wonderful experience, and it's been a pleasure working with all of the counselors in the city, and I look forward to taking those skills and applying them in Eastern Oregon. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Well, Astoria's loss is La Grande's win, so we should send a note to La Grande congratulating them as well. Thank you for all you've done. Presentations. We have a presentation on the construction of the new aerial fire truck. Chief Ames.
So I was asked to put together a brief presentation on the construction progress of the new ladder truck, and I've pared down 164 slides to 44. And some of them are going to be kind of mundane and droll, and I won't spend too much time. And then some of the others maybe we'll spend just a couple minutes on. So if I do this right, there we go. So this is going to start. And this is week one. And the only thing that really happened in week one is production started on the cab. So if you look at that yellow part is a jig. So they start bending and welding aluminum around that jig. And really all you're gonna see is three different views of how it starts. And if you look, there's three or four other ones going on at the same time from other departments or cities. We kind of bump into week number two, and what happens there is they start working on different components throughout each week. Now they're starting to construct the pump that's going to push water up the ladder and to other, wherever it needs to go. These are kind of boring, and I apologize for that. Now the cab is completed in 1 week, so it moves outside and starts getting prepped for paint, both inside and outside. So every surface underneath, on top, inside, everywhere gets prepped, primed, and then many coats of paint so that hopefully it lasts for its life. And that's just the inside of the cab. Week number three, a bunch of other stuff happens. The more of the pump, more plumbing on the pump, pretty soon you'll see that it's inside the truck. The cab has got its first two full coats of paint and is outside now curing. The inside of the cab is just about finished with paint, but not quite. And then more of the outside of the cab.
Where is this located?
This is in Appleton, Wisconsin. and is built by a company named Pierce Manufacturing. Their parent company is Oshkosh International. And actually, this is about four different facilities that Pierce uses to build these. So a lot of things are going on at the same time in different facilities. So now we're bumping up into week number four, and more stuff inside and more jigs. Now they're starting to build the exterior compartments of the truck. And again, boring. I apologize for that.
It's not Camp, boring. Is that steel or is that
aluminum? It's aluminum, correct. The thing on the left, the white thing, that is actually part of the construction of the ladder, the base that the ladder will sit on, a portion of it. And then this is the chassis. This is what makes the truck as robust as it's going to be. If we went and bought a truck off of a lot, it's already got the chassis built into it. It's done in a factory. Each chassis that they build for these is custom built by Pierce or by Oshkosh. So it starts literally from the ground up. And there's just a couple more views of the chassis. There's no wheels on it, no engine, no transmission, nothing in it yet. It's getting ready to be done. So week number five, and a week back there is 6 days. They work 6 days. And if production requires, then they'll go a full 7 days. This is an interesting picture. This looks like a great big long steel box that's been painted black. And what it's called is a torque box. So if we have the chassis that you just saw, the torque box sits on top of the chassis. And that's what allows the ladder to go up 100 feet and swing and turn and depress and go back up, because it puts a tremendous amount of strain on everything else in the truck. That torque box is the length of about 2/3 of the chassis. That helps take the stress that the ladder puts when it goes up or turns. And there's another picture of the torque box, or a couple. Now yes?
Chief, is that torque box also aluminum or
no,
is
that
steel?
Is steel.
Okay.
The torque box is steel, the turntable that the ladder sits on is steel, and the ladder itself is steel.
Okay.
I'm allergic to aluminum ladders that are that tall. What you see here is the pump is actually been set inside a portion of the body now. Okay, so that weird looking pipey thing that you saw a few slides back is inside where it's supposed to be, and they're starting to put controls on it. And that's just another couple views of it. The cab has moved inside and is starting to get wiring and everything that goes on inside the cab. A lot of wiring, a lot of controls for the engine, for the ladder, everything is starting to come together inside. There's just a couple pictures of the wiring details that go into the thing, both overhead and then underneath the cab and along the chassis. Another couple pictures, and I think there's the chassis now has the dual rear end on it and the front tires. They've mounted the engine on it, they've mounted the transmission, and it could actually motor around by itself almost. Not quite, but almost. And like I said, this is all taking place in a week at different facilities of the manufacturer. They put a tarp over the engine's mounted onto the front of the chassis. Now the body that you saw with more of those yellow jigs a while back, it's all finished. Everything is outside and is starting to get prepped, primed, and then a number of coats of paint. And that's just another couple views of the body. Now we're bumping up to week six, and you'll see a dramatic difference. The cab is on the chassis. It's actually tilted up. The engine's on the chassis, battery's on there, transmission, and all that stuff is being started, is starting to be tied together inside the cab. Along with the body is on the chassis now, and shelving, wiring inside the body, all that kind of stuff is starting to happen too. If you look on the very bottom of those pictures, you see the bottom red rail, and then right above that, there's like some weird looking stuff. Those are all servo controls for the ladder. That allows you to control the ladder from the side of the truck, the rear of the truck, on the turntable, or at the top of the ladder. And everything goes through those controls down there. Just more pictures of the body getting its detail done to it. Cab is lifted, and they're doing more work, wiring and plumbing. And that is it. I had week 7, but I think that's enough for the school.
So how high does the ladder go?
The ladder is 105 feet. Realistically, it's good for about 95 feet. You've got to have some climbing angle.
Yeah. And Chief, would you say how tall is our current ladder truck?
Our current ladder truck is 75 feet, and practical climbing is about 65 feet. So we'll be able to reach, hopefully we never have to, the top of the JJA.
Wow. She's a beauty.
Well, it's coming there. Thank you.
She looks a little pink, though, I have to say.
Huh?
It seems more like a fuchsia than a fire engine red to me.
I won't tell Pierce that. Any other questions?
Is fire engine red a real color, like it's standard? It seems to be when you eyeball it, but.
About 30 years ago, there was a great big switch to lime green and yellow because folks thought that that was easier to see. Some folks have white fire trucks, some have red, some have lime green or yellow. Personally, I think God meant fire trucks to be red.
But as far as the red itself, the actual hue, is that pretty solid one kind of red? Right?
There's so many different flavors of red out there. We just chose one that was the least expensive and looked the nicest.
It's great.
It looks great.
Mayor, if I may, I'd just like to acknowledge and appreciate you, Chief Ames, for your leadership in facilitating this project to bring a new aerial ladder truck to Astoria that we can be really proud of. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Chief, I had kind of an unrelated question and just curiosity. For a couple of days, about a week ago, there was a brand new pumper truck in town that had simply Pierce on the side of it. I would assume that it was from the Pierce company. Was it here for training or?
No, occasionally different manufacturers will, folks will build a spec house and try and sell it, you know.
Ah.
They'll build demos and they'll take them on road trips up and down the coast to show other departments and cities what they have available. Oh. It was making its rounds. It stopped by the station and, oh, would you guys like to come out and take a look? I said, how about you come in and take a look at what we've got? He drove off pretty soon.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank
Not
you.
A problem. Any other questions?
Celia?
Other than the ladder truck, are there any other specs unique to our needs that you put in?
There is a little unique, it's not unique with a lot of cities. If you notice in the pictures, this has a dual axle rear end, and it also allows for, instead of a tripod to stabilize the truck when the ladder goes up, it allows two sets of jacks to come out so it's more stable. And we kind of spec'd it that way because of the hills. Having to stop on hills or having to stop on corners that are kind of angled up or angled down to provide the most stability that we could. So it's not unique, but it's kind of going to be unique to Clemson County. Yes, sir?
How many firemen do you have that have agreed to climb the 90-foot?
All but me. All of them. They'll all climb. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much, Chief Ames. Okay, next on our agenda is the consent calendar. These items are considered routine and they'll be adopted by one motion unless a member of the City Council has requested an item to be considered separately or a member of the community
So there are no community members requesting removal.
Okay. How about City Council?
I have a very brief question for 6B, so could we remove that, please?
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, could we have a motion then to approve items 6A, C, D, E, and F?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, Ms. Cosby.
Councilor Nemelwell?
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Ward?
Aye.
Mayor Lemire?
Aye. Okay, Councilor Price.
On 6B, under reporting and forms, I don't have page number for that, sorry. The second one, I just had a question. The second bullet set on OSHA injury report says that as of August 31st, 2016, 13 work-related reports have been filed. Does that mean that since then until now, 13 work-related reports have been filed, or for the fiscal year or calendar year? For the calendar year. Thank you. That's
okay.
It.
Do you want to make a motion then to approve
I
that?
Move that we approve item 6B.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay, regular agenda items. There will be time for public comment. If you have a comment to make after any of these items, just know that we do have a three-minute limit, so we respect everyone's time. The first agenda item is a liquor license application.
So a liquor license application was filed with Michael Cameron Latek, doing business at Street 14, and it's located at 1410 Commercial Street. This is for an additional privilege for off-premise sales license. The city departments have reviewed it, and it is recommended that council consider this application for approval.
Okay. Discussion from the council?
I'll recuse myself from the vote as the applicant is a client of my family business, Fort George.
Okay. All right. Before we take a vote then, any comments from the audience? Okay. Could we have a motion?
I move we approve the application.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Second item is an ordinance readopting the local fuel tax, and this is our second reading.
And again, this ordinance, as the mayor had stated, had its first reading at the September 19th, 2016 council meeting. And this ordinance concerns the provision of administration, enforcement, collection of a 3 cent per gallon business tax on motor vehicle fuel dealers. And again, these funds are used to be able to do the repaving work within the city, which was recently completed within the last month. And we do that work routinely every 2 years with these revenues. It's recommended tonight that the council conduct the second reading and adopt the proposed ordinance, which would readopt a motor vehicle fuel tax.
Okay. Any council discussion?
Do we need two separate motions?
No, you could just ask for a reading and then have one single vote.
Thank you.
Okay, any discussion before we have the reading of the ordinance? Ms. Brooks?
An ordinance readopting ordinance number 07-02, providing for a motor vehicle fuel tax.
Okay, any comments from the audience before we vote on the to approve this ordinance. Okay. Could we have a motion then?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote. Mr. Cronin.
Councilor Nemelo.
Aye.
Councilor Ward.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Mayor Lemire.
Aye. Thank you. And next is a resolution declaring a vacancy for the position of Councilor Ward 2.
Drew Herzig was elected to the position of City Councilor Ward 2 for a four-year term, which expires on December 31st, 2016. Mr. Herzig has submitted his resignation as he has relocated to another community. Pursuant to the City Charter, the City Council may appoint an individual to the position or declare that a vacancy exists in the position of councilor. And that said vacancy will then be filled at the next available election, and in this case, November 8, 2016. So tonight it's recommended that council either determine to make an appointment or consider the resolution provided in the packet stating that a vacancy will be filled at the next available election.
Okay, council discussion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Because the seat for City Council, Ward 2, is unopposed, because the one and only legally qualified candidate is in attendance tonight and has been attending the past several weeks and has indicated he will continue to attend all council and related meetings between now and January 1st. Because that candidate, at the invitation of the mayor, attended this past week's League of Oregon Cities conference and opportunities were taken by attending counselors and staff to get to know the candidate, because the candidate is prepared and ready to honorably and respectfully represent the citizens of Ward 2 and participate in this deliberative body, because one quarter of the voters of Astoria reside in Ward 2, and because one quarter of the calendar year is before us, and there will be a number of important issues to discuss and determine, because the council operates best when it's at full strength and with an odd number of members, because the City Charter Section 4.9 allows for appointment by a majority of the council to a vacancy, I move that we appoint the legally qualified, unopposed candidate, Tom Brownson, to the vacant Ward 2 seat, and immediately upon passage of this motion, administer him the oath of office and welcome him to take the Ward 2 seat at council table.
Is there a second to that motion? Or discussion?
Discussion, and in the time that I've served on the council, we've had several vacancies. The council has opted in each case to wait for the next election, and I think that that would be the best course of action for us.
Okay, anyone else?
I agree.
Could I ask why we have a candidate here? Ward 2 has been used to being very well represented robustly by the Councilor Herzig. I'm really not understanding why it's a vacant seat, it's unopposed. We can't move forward with full council.
Are you asking me?
Well, asking everyone,
I personally don't see the urgency, and I think the council is well aware of staff's time, and I don't see it necessary to bring on a new counselor before January. When you and I both took office, we were led through various departments by staff in learning about all of the departments, and I just don't see any reason why we would do that right now. I don't agree that there's an urgency.
Well, you and I began our department head discussions in November, and that could certainly wait until the November election so that whomever is elected for Ward 4 could go forward. Does the city manager consider it a burden on staff time to have the seat occupied?
I think this is a city council issue that needs to be determined.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, then since that motion did not have a second, could we have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution and approve the resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we need a roll call vote. Mr. Cook.
Aye.
Councilor Price?
No.
Councilor Ward?
Aye.
Mayor Lemire?
Aye. Okay. The next one is the parklet
proposal.
So on the 3rd of August of last year, Council approved the launch of the Parklet Pilot Program, and city staff received an application from a business owner regarding the potential of a parklet to be located within a designated on-street parking area in the downtown. The cargo parklet, as we've referred to it, is proposed for the parking spaces and loading space located in front of 240 11th Street, and that's on the east side of 11th Street between Marine Drive and Commercial. I'm going to have Nancy Ferber, our city planner, be able to present a brief review of this request. After that, we do have representatives from the individuals who are proposing and who have designed the parklet in the audience if there's council questions. But it's recommended that council consider and approve the proposed parklet with the conditions included in the council memo.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
As Brett mentioned, the applicant is here, so I just wanted to give a brief history of how we got here and what we're reviewing tonight. And a reminder that the parklet is in a pilot program stage, so it's not set in stone. There's a lot of wiggle room for what we can actually approve and go back and kind of change and tweak the policy as needed. So I put up a quick timeline just to show where we are. Last August in 2015, the policy was established for a two-year pilot program project, and then we started accepting applications. This is the first application, which we're reviewing today. Staff has reviewed it and included the recommendations in your packet. And then, like I mentioned, we have some time post-installation to review the policy, see what works, what doesn't, when things are actually installed and in place. Quick review on what we did adopt back in August 2015. I just pulled some of the key pieces. It's a pretty long policy, but it covers location and size of the parklet, the design, the operations and maintenance, and the design review, the actual process for being adopted, and why we're here tonight, so that council can approve and suggest changes for the actual design and application, which I leave to the applicant to walk through some of their specific design proposals. This is a picture of just down the block of where the parklet's being proposed. It will actually be 40 feet long, not the normal 20 feet, which would be one parking space, because as you can see, there's a yellow striped area, which is the loading zone, so it will be the parking space and then the loading zone. Parklet itself has been built, it just hasn't been installed yet. So there are some photos of what it looks like right now. We don't require green building as a design element, but it was encouraged, and the wood has been reclaimed pallets and other wood. I'm not sure from where, but it's kind of nice that the first parklet includes some green building elements. And then briefly, staff has reviewed and recommended that the parklet include reflectors on both ends, which has been discussed with the applicant, as well as wheel bumpers so that cars parking can maneuver and not run into the parklet itself. Upon installation, public works staff will go out and review and make sure the drainage is okay underneath, and allow for any changes for ADA accessibility. And should the parklet need to be removed in the future, that's one of the conditions that it could be pulled out should something occur and it need to be removed. And the applicant is here for any questions, and I'm happy to field them as well.
Anybody have any comments?
Yeah, I've got a question for the applicant. So, why would you be willing to give up a precious parking space in front of one of your businesses for a parklet?
Well, I do think there's a lot of parking spaces in town, and I have rented 7 parking spaces in front in the parking lot for my customers. So, and down below.
Thank you.
I have a question because most of the...
And Jim, if you could give your name and address for the record,
okay.
Please. Sorry about
that. Jim Defia with Astoria Coffee House.
Okay. Most of the parklets I've seen, and I've seen quite a few in Portland and so forth and other suburban cities, they seem to have more of a like a platform where they have tables and chairs and things like that out there. This looks so totally different.
Well, there are some built-in benches, and there's room to put some tables.
Okay. can't tell what it is.
Well, it has been available for viewing over the past couple of weeks, and I've had a chance to look at it for another reason a while ago, and I think particularly for a project, pilot project, it's really great because of the different kinds of elements that it has. We can see how these things react in the weather, and I really appreciate the reclaimed wood. I think I noticed one of the benches that maybe the only one that didn't get stolen from in front of the Safeway hole when there were mm-hmm. banners out there, or perhaps it's just another piece, but it looks very interesting, and I'd like to see it go forward.
So in front of all these, I'm still trying to figure this out. So in front of all these benches, you're going to put tables, or you can put tables?
We have the option, yeah.
Otherwise, if you don't put tables, it's just a place for people to sit?
Yeah, congregate and socialize. And yeah.
Okay. Okay, any other questions or comments?
Madam Mayor, I'm Jeff Daly. Mm-hmm. I helped Jimbo design this. I could ask him some questions for you. The reason you're not seeing tables right now is that the depth of the parklet itself is 7 feet. The parklet is going to be built within the confines of the actual parking spots. That is for clearance of vehicles, et cetera. The curb, what you see, the black plastic there, that is actually recycled plastic water bottles that has been recycled in the flooring, which will be on the floor. Not, there'd be one more layer of black tiles in front of that. So essentially in front of those benches, there's only about this much room before the curb. Mm-hmm. Tables may be added. In the lower left-hand corner is a bench that's actually a pier that came underneath the 14th Street dock that was reclaimed, been grinded down. Potentially, after this installation is installed, there will be improvements to it. There'll be additions to it as a pilot program. That's what we're looking for, is to be able to have involvement from not only the city, but also from the public. What works, what doesn't. And that's what we're being able to hope to do, is to be able to adapt to it. We've worked with the ADHD. We've worked with all the other city planners. And that's the concept, is to let's see how this works within the city. And then future programs, future blogs that may want to also try and do it, we'll learn from it, and then we'll be able to establish a great program.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, and all the pallets are, all the wood there is all recycled wood. There is some recycled copper. The whole concept was to utilize what is free. It's repurposed. It's finished with a water-resistant product, so it'll be able to sit there and be able to hold its color. Jimbo, as the sponsor of it, is going to maintain it. There will be no expense to the city. It will be kept very handsome, and I think it's going to be exactly what Michelle Reeves was talking about, of being able to bring people, incorporate them into the neighborhoods, have an opportunity to discover the businesses that are on that street, have a cup of coffee, be able to hang out, be able to converse and enjoy. I think it'll be a great addition to the city, and I'd like to see some more of them come out eventually.
Thank you. I have a question. Are the benches, they're just facing one direction, right? The benches?
Yes, they are. The
and
benches
which direction
will be facing
are they
towards
facing?
The curb.
Towards the curb.
Yes, so those benches you see in the upper left, on the upper right, those are benches that are there. There is a slight retaining wall, which will protect anybody within that area from vehicle traffic. It goes along at about 4 feet tall. Everything is modular, will be able to be removed at any time easily and quickly, whether it's during a winter situation, where if we had some bad weather, if we had rain or whatever, parade wanted to take part on that street, everything is bolted together, can be removed, can be shortened, can be lengthened, whatever the needs might be. That's the whole concept, is to make this really be unilateral for any purposes.
Okay. Any other comments?
I'm anxious to see it. I think it'll be interesting.
I think you have in your packets approximately 125 to 150 signatures from people supporting the concept. Mm-hmm. Everyone that I've talked to has had nothing but enthusiasm for it. Everybody has always mentioned, we've seen this in Portland, we've seen it in Seattle and Bend and Salem, et cetera, et cetera. San Francisco, who after spending 30 years there, living there in the city, if anybody knows about parking issues, I do. San Francisco has got parklets that are in the Mission District, in the Outer District, in the Downtown District, and it's been enthusiastically involved there. People have talked about how it is bringing people together and congregating and becoming more neighborhoodish, more unified for the downtown. That's what we want to do. We want to see people downtown, daytime and nighttime, celebrating their businesses and taking care of our business owners.
No, I truly support the parklet idea and have ever since going or participating with Michelle Reeves in the Main Street program, but I just have never seen one quite like this.
This is different. A lot of them that you have seen have been painted materials. They're new materials. Some of the guidelines were written up in this pilot program. We're asking us to use recycled materials. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great way to do it, especially in a community where wood is part of our involvement. Rather than throwing it, burning it, let's see if we can't repurpose it. And that was the concept of this, and including down to the flooring of the plastic.
Have most of the other... The parklets in other places, are they usually limited by that width?
Yes, it's basically a parklet takes a parking spot. So okay. I'm not sure a parking spot, Brett, Kevin, would be it's approximately 18 feet by 7
right.
foot.
Right.
And the idea is this parklet is not going to the max of it. It's within those areas as a car would be, so there's still plenty of clearance to be able to move in and around.
Okay. Thank you very
much.
Okay, could we have a motion or?
I move we approve the proposed parklet with the conditions contained in the memorandum.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Time for public comments. If any of you have anything that you want to discuss with the council, come forward and please give your name and your address. Okay, at this time we will recess and then come back into session for the Astoria Development Commission meeting. We are bilingual or something. We do both things.
Are we recessing into executive session?
No, not until the end of this one.
We're going to do
we'll
the
have
ADC
a five-minute break before we start the Astoria Development Commission.
Mayor, you may want to clarify for the council your intent.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to combine the executive sessions. We have an executive session for the Development Commission, and we also have executive sessions for...
I understand that, but we're going to have the ADC meeting
first.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can have a five-minute break if you'd like it.
Okay.
Mayor, I want to make sure you have the right agenda. I don't think you don't have the right agenda.
I
there's
do.
Not a... There's not an Astoria Development Commission executive session. This was last. This is September's.
Oh, shoot. Where did I get that? Okay. So we don't have an executive session?
You have an executive session just for City Council. No Astoria Development Commission.
All right. Thank you. I didn't know.
Yeah, they're going to put that kind of recycled floor to give it a different surface.
Yes.
And
that's
then,
good.
And then they'll put the other stuff around.
Yeah. Do you think it looks good?
I think it's okay. We'll see how the weather is. I mean, you have to know this is a pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
The city council, there's the condition. It says that if the
So do I. I don't have EDC then?
Yes.
Okay. Wonder how in the world I did that. Okay.
That's when you said that. I was like, combined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'll call to order the Astoria Development Commission for October 3rd, 2016. We have a roll call. Susan Brooks?
Commissioner Nimble?
Here.
Commissioner Price?
Here.
Here.
Okay, consent calendar. Could we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Cook, roll call.
Councilor Dimmelwell?
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Ward?
Aye.
Mayor Lemire?
Aye. Our regular agenda items, again, in order to respect everyone's time, comments will be limited to 3 minutes. And our item is the First Amendment to the Astor West Urban Renewal Plan.
So I'm just going to give a very brief introduction and then turn it over to Kevin. But the City of Astoria adopted an urban renewal plan for the Astor West Urban Renewal District in 2002. And what we have before you tonight is the start of the process to amend the Astor West Urban Renewal District based upon some of the discussions we've had before you over the past couple of months. So as I said, I'm going to have Community Development Director Kevin Cronin give an introduction on this matter, or further introduction to this matter, and also to introduce Elaine Howard. You may recognize Elaine for some of you who have been around for a while, not too long, I guess.
You're saying I've been around.
That came off about as smooth as I hope. But Elaine has been the city's urban renewal consultant for a number of projects over the years, and Elaine is back helping us to work on the amendment to the Astor West District. In the end tonight, it's recommended that the Astoria Development Commission forward the proposed plan amendment to the Planning Commission for their review of conformance to the Astoria Conference of Plan, and then to City Council for a hearing and first reading. So Kevin, if you want to start off.
Yes, thank you, Brett. Thank you, Mayor, members of the Commission. First off, I have nothing like a red fire truck to show you, so I can't top that. But I do have something exciting to share with you. That is the draft URA plan and report that Brett just mentioned. So it's taken us a while to get here, but we are here. So I'm going to turn it over to Lane real quick. But the reason that we are here is the Commission in previous meetings had recommended that we move forward with the expansion to look at reopening Bond Street, revitalizing the corridor, and making some improvements to the housing, or at least incentivizing some improvements to the housing along that corridor. So based on your feedback at those previous meetings and your comments, as well as the public open house that we held back in July, we provided that direction to our consultant, Elaine, which the commission authorized back in May. So Elaine's been hard at work for the last few months, putting all this information together. We've gone back and forth and looked at this. We're looking for your comments tonight, as well as any comments from the public before we go to the Planning Commission at the end of the month. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Elaine. I'll just say that I've got to work with Elaine for a while now in my previous job at PDC, and it's great to have her back. So here we go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And I have been around for a while. So I worked with you both on, you know, back when you did the Liberty Theater and the Garden of Surging Waves and other projects in the Fort George Brewery. So I've been helped with amendments and laying the groundwork for a lot of those different projects for you. So I'm pleased to be back to help you work on your Astor West Urban Renewal Area.
And Elaine, if you can give us your address, because it's being taped. So.
Yes. Elaine Howard, 4763 Southwest Admiral Street in Portland. So this is a substantial amendment proposed for your urban renewal area. There are two kinds of amendments that are required to be substantial amendments by statute. One is increasing your maximum indebtedness, which you are not doing. The other is increasing your acreage over 1% of your existing acreage in an urban renewal area. This does increase over 1% of your acreage, and so it has to be a substantial amendment. A substantial amendment has to be adopted in the same way that an original urban renewal plan has to be adopted. That's why it has to come to you to start off the process. It has to go to the Planning Commission. It has to be noticed to all your citizens for the hearing for City Council, and there also has to be a presentation to the County Commission. This is the proposed property addition to the area. It's 12.05 acres. It's comprised of 43 tax lots. So you can see that it mostly goes down Bond Street and takes properties on either side of Bond Street. We're clarifying projects within the plan just to make sure that it's understood what projects will be moving forward. So the Bond Street Improvement Project and Retaining Wall is the first project. Redevelopment and development assistance, including affordable housing, the Maritime Memorial Park acquisition, storefront loan program. So a storefront loan program versus a redevelopment program. A storefront loan program is just that frontage. The redevelopment can be anything on the interior, and then redevelopment assistance that could go for any type of development within the area. To be able to do the amendment, we went through the plan and just cleaned it up and added goals and objectives that met the needs for the projects that were identified. This urban renewal area has an existing maximum indebtedness of $9,119,000. That maximum indebtedness is the total amount of money that you may spend on projects and programs within the urban renewal area. There isn't a proposal to increase that maximum indebtedness. The charts in the reports show that that maximum indebtedness would be reached at fiscal year end 2021. Those additional properties that are added to the urban renewal area, when they're added into the urban renewal area, they will become part of the frozen base of the urban renewal area. So the assessed value that they are at now, that all of the taxing jurisdictions will continue receiving their taxes off of that amount. And then as there is any growth in assessed value in that area, that money will go to the Urban Renewal Agency for projects within the area. One of the things that we're required to do when you do an urban renewal plan amendment is project what the impact is to the different taxing jurisdictions. And that's included in the report that was forwarded to you. The impacts are very small because it's the impacts just of those additional properties. Since you aren't increasing your maximum indebtedness, the total amount to achieve that maximum indebtedness isn't increasing. The difference is just on that annual basis, you're paying a little more up front, but in the end you're able to not take as much money because you're getting a little bit from that increase in growth off of those properties that are coming into the urban renewal area. So in the chart, table 14 within your plan, it shows what those projected increases are. For the city of Astoria, the impact doesn't begin until fiscal year end 2018, and the impact would be $2,560. A negative impact, that means that would be money that you wouldn't get into your general fund but would instead go to the Urban Renewal Agency. In 2019, it's 4,000 and some, 2020, 6,000 and some negative impact. But in 2021, the last year, you're able to not take as much money to reach that maximum indebtedness. And so the overall impact to that is actually a positive impact because you're getting that money a little earlier instead of waiting until the end of the district to get it. So it's a little confusing to understand, but the reality is You're bringing in a small amount of assessed value. The taxes off that is fairly small. It's an impact to you negatively the first few years. The last year, you're able to pay less, to need less money, so it's a positive impact to the taxing jurisdictions at that point. The process and this is, oh, you changed it, thank you. The notice to the property owners went out in September. We have the meeting tonight. Tomorrow, if you agree to move this forward, the city will send formal notices to the taxing jurisdictions. That's called a consult and confer, and it just tells them the impact of the amendment and gives them the notice that if they want to provide you written comments, that they need to do that before the city council meeting. The planning commission review would be October 25th, and October 26th, we're scheduled to present it to the Clatsop County Commission. They don't vote on it, they just get to get a briefing on it. The first reading is scheduled for November 7th, and then the second reading for November 21st.
Could you tell me what are the taxing jurisdictions that will receive this notice?
They are Clatsop County, Port of Astoria, Clatsop 4-H and Extension, Sunset Empire Transportation, Clatsop Care Center, City of Astoria, Astoria School District, Northwest Regional ESD, Clatsop Community College. The important thing to know about the school district and the regional ESD is that they aren't directly impacted by urban renewal. They are what's called an indirect impact because they're funded through the state school fund on a per pupil basis. So there'll be a little less money going to that state school from Astoria, but it impacts that state school fund just the way urban renewal does any place else in the state of Oregon. And the legislature establishes that per pupil funding basis when they meet on their biennial basis.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Just one comment from myself. I did phone call all the taxing jurisdictions as well as providing them an email with the plan and report prior to the letter going out, so they have a heads up that this is coming.
Good, thank you. Comments or questions from the council? Okay. Could we have a motion then?
I move that we send the proposed amendment to the Astor West Urban Renewal District to the Planning Commission for review.
Okay.
And it would also need to include the City Council for a public hearing and consideration at first reading.
Okay, can you explain how the process would work? Because I saw that in the staff report, but I wasn't quite sure how we would be referring it to the Planning Commission and ourselves at the same time.
So by state law, the City Council, this is the first step, has to refer to the Planning Commission for review of conformance for the comprehensive plan provisions contained for this area. Also, you're referring it, you're essentially setting a public hearing. This is basically what you're doing by the motion of sending it back to the City Council yourself. You're setting a public hearing for review by this motion.
Okay.
Elaine, did I state that correctly?
Perfect.
So how would you recommend that motion be worded then? Oh, the mayor has a cheat here for me. Thank you very much. So I would move that we forward the proposed plan amendment to the Planning Commission for the review of conformance to the Astoria Comprehensive Plan and to the City Council for hearing and first reading.
And second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay, the Astoria Development Commission is adjourned, and we will now move into executive session. Thank you all for coming.